back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time for our special guest. Joining us by phone this morning, Reverend Dr. Abjar Baku. He's an LCMS pastor, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, and a speaker on themes of debate between Islam and Christianity. Good morning, Dr. Baku.
Good morning.
Thank you for being our guest today.
You are very welcome.
Now, tell us a little bit about where you serve. You serve in a number of places, actually, correct?
Yes. My full-time job is professor of Arabic language and culture at Baylor University in Waco. And I also lead an Arabic congregation that is part of the Texas district in Hearst, Texas. That's in North Texas, in Fort DFW area. And also I do pastoral assistant at Peace Lutheran Church in Hewitt. That's in Waco area.
So you cover all of Central Texas. You're a busy man.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background and your studies, where you have studied and what brings you to serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
It's a long journey. I was born in Syria, I spent my teenage year in Damascus, cross street from the straight street where Paul was baptized in the Church of Ananias. So that's where I did my seminary, born and raised as a Syrian Orthodox, and also ordained as a Syrian Orthodox priest in 1997. In around 1993, I was sent to Rome to study in Rome for 6 years, where I did my first graduate study, master's and PhD in Christian education and youth ministry, focusing on the youth of Middle East. And in 99, I moved to America, also through a Syrian Orthodox Church, to serve the churches in California, in Southern and North California. In 2004, I moved to Texas to finish another graduate study in Arabic and Islamic studies. And I finished it. And since 2005, I have been in contact with LCMS churches, and I serve with different organization, mission organization in North Texas. And so I decided, after studying the Lutheran theology and after translating, I translated a book called Life with God, which is an explanation of the Luther Small Catechism. And so through this teaching and translating and working in the mission field, I saw myself in my place in the Lutheran theology and in Lutheran church. And so they encouraged me, the pastors here, they encouraged me to apply for colloquy. And I applied. It took almost a year and a half to finish it. But in 2012, I was colloquized as a LCMS pastor here in the district of Texas.
And so now you serve as a lecturer at Baylor University in Arabic Literature and Culture and Language, and you also serve as a pastor to a congregation in Hearst, Texas. Tell us a little bit about that congregation in Hearst.
This is a congregation that I planted 3 years ago because of the immigration. Christian immigration from all over Middle East, North Texas is growing now. I started through my mission field to Arab Christian and Muslim at the same time. I had contact with many families that are coming from Iraq and Syria, and they contacted me and they wanted to worship in Arabic because there is not that much congregation, that many congregation in North Texas that offer word and sacraments. So they contacted me and they wanted to worship, and they knew that I am an ordained pastor. And so through that connection, I knew Pastor Walt Weiser, who is the senior pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Hearst. And I contacted him, and we started to talk about establishing an Arabic congregation under the LCMS that serves most of the metroplex. And here we started our ministry in North Texas. Right, we had our first service in Palm Sunday in 2011. So it's been less than 3 years, and this congregation has been growing because of the immigration. So I work mainly with immigrant Arab Christian and Muslim also. Just last Sunday I had a service, and we had two couples also from Muslim background coming and attending the service. So what we do, our mission is to serve Arab Christian from different congregation, but we preach according to the Lutheran theology and Lutheran framework. And at the same time also, we disciple Muslim who are open to the gospel. When I started this mission, the first service I did it was a funeral for a Christian lady who was married to a Muslim, and she died, and she wanted a Christian funeral. And so I did the service, and we had like 60 people coming from all over the places. We were just like 5 people, and 55 were Muslim. They came and they attended, and we preached the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm. So that's basically is our mission. We call the mission Antiochian Apostolic Church because most of the people are coming from the Mesopotamian area, which is Iraq and Syria. And so I thought to be relevant, culturally relevant to the community, we call it the Antiochian Apostolic Church. And it's based on the book of Acts, where in Antioch, the disciples were called Christians. And also in my service, I use a lot of liturgical texts from the Eastern Church Father, Antiochian tradition, and so I saw it as a proper name to call the mission Antiochian Apostolic Church.
Very good. So you're really reaching a lot of people, especially a lot of immigrants who are coming from a Muslim background. What are some important things for us to understand as Christians, points of debate between Islam and Christianity?
Okay, yeah, this is a very vast and an important topic that has been going on for a quite long time. I always said here in the West we have been talking with Islam for the last 50 years, but we as Arab Christian, we have been debating and talking and presenting theology to Muslims since the 7th century. For the last 1,300 years, we have been talking to Muslim and presenting our faith to Muslim. When we do debates, it's always sometimes when you hear this title, you think that our religion will beat their religion. It's not about beating their religion. It's not like we are not in a fighting here. But I always like to say, to start by first letter to Peter, chapter 3, verses 15, when he say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And so when we debate with Muslim, we always give the reason of our hope to Muslim. And we always ask, what is the reason of our hope? The reason of our hope is Christ, Jesus, who was crucified, died on the cross, and rose in the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 always talks about for the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then he goes on in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile, but to those who God called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why I am saying that, this thing, why we focus on the cross, because the cross is the central point, central between Islam and Christianity. Islam talks about, if we read the Quran, we see that the Quran talks about Jesus more than Muhammad. There is 93 verses that talks about Christ, 15 surah. Surah means chapter in the Quran that talks about Christ as a prophet, as a miracle worker, as a messenger from God. But when it comes to the cross, to the death and resurrection of Christ here, the Quran denied it emphatically. And he said about Christ, they did not call him, they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but it was appeared to them. And so, while we as a Christian, our hope, the reason of our hope is in the incarnate God, is in his resurrection, his death on the cross, and his resurrection in the third day, the reason is completely different in the Muslim side. So that's a major debate between Islam and Christianity. In Islam, Christ is a good prophet who came and who gave a message, but the followers of Christ corrupted that message. And so what God has to do? God has to send another prophet and another scripture, which they call it the Quran. And so he had to send the another prophet to correct that corruption. And so that's why they call Muhammad the seal of the prophets. He brought us the ultimate revelation. And so in my lecture, I will be talking about some of the titles of Jesus, like the Quran called it the Messiah, the same thing like the Christian, the Word of God and the Spirit from God. But these three titles are totally different in their explanation, in their concept, from the Christian concept. So that would be one of the topics that I will be talking about. Plus, when we talk about Christian faith, it is a Trinitarian faith,
mm-hmm.
in a sense that we say God has shown us, God was incarnate through the person of Jesus Christ. So God is one substance and three in three modes.
Let's pause there. Let's hold on to that thought about the Trinity. We'll continue that conversation. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue the conversation about the Trinity and the upcoming lecture at Concordia Seminary on March 27th. So stick around, listeners. We'll continue talking with Dr. Baku right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Daryl Magruder. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in celebration of his baptism. Once again, we say thank you to Daryl Magruder of St. Louis, Missouri. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Facebook is a great way to keep up with programming and get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the broadcast day of KFUO Radio. This is where you'll find the inside scoop on programming and show links, photos, videos, and get details of upcoming events. And it's the place where you can connect with us and other listeners. And it's just so easy. Go to Facebook on your computer or smart device, put KFUO into the search box, select our page, and like us today. And oh yes, it's totally free. So what are you waiting for?
There's nothing greater in this life than the wall that separates all people from God because of sin. That wall is high, it's deep, it's impenetrable. But that's exactly the wall that Jesus Christ overcame when he died on the cross, so that you could have access to God as your Father and not as your judge.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with Reverend Dr. Abjar Baku. He will be giving a lecture at Concordia Seminary on March 27th on the questions between Islam and Christianity. Now, Dr. Baku, before we went to break, you were just starting to talk about the Trinity and how Islam views the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in regard of Trinity, Islam clearly reject this doctrine and condemn those who believe in such idea. Like if you we read in Surah 4, verses 171, it says, "Say not Trinity, desist. It will be better for you, for God is one God. Glory be to Him. Far exalted is He above having a son." And then in another verse, there is a dialogue between God and Jesus, and God is asking Jesus, "Have you ever asked the people to worship?" To worship you and Mary and God, and Jesus said, "No, God forbid, I never asked them to worship me and my mother Mary." And so here they consider Islam, because it's misunderstanding. Islam thinks when they hear the word Trinity, they think we worship three gods. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three gods. Hmm. So without saying, this is a Trinity that even Christianity rejected, because we don't believe in three gods. Even the Quran, when the Quran talks about the Trinity, he talks about a heretical form of Trinity that existed in the 4th, 5th, and 6th, and it died in the 7th century. The heretical group called the Miriamite, those group were pagan who converted to Christianity. So they were worshipping the stars. And so they thought of Trinity as God had a conjugal relationship with Mary and they conceived Jesus. So if you read those, this is very clear in the verses in the Quran. But even Christianity rejected this kind of Trinity. And so when Islam reject the concept of Trinity, it's the same concept that Christianity also reject. However, because of the misunderstanding, when they hear Trinity, they think of us as worshiping God, Mary, and Jesus. And so it is considered the worst sin. They call it shirk. Shirk means to associate God with other gods. And so that's an important topic of debate when we talk to Muslims, to clear this idea that when we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we don't talk about three natures or three gods. We talk about one God that was manifested in three modes. And I will be talking about this. How do we explain, or how do we present the doctrine of the Holy Trinity to Muslims? And what do we learn from the debates throughout the history? As I said, from the 7th century, Arab Christians in the Middle East have been talking and presenting this concept, Jesus and Trinity, in the Muslim context and in Muslim vocabularies. And so we can learn a lot from this kind of debates. So the whole lecture, because we cannot cover all the debates, that's a whole course that I will be teaching this summer also at Concordia. I was invited to teach a summer course at Concordia. I entitled it Muslim-Christian Encounters. And so we will be talking in details about this. So the whole lecture will be focused on how Jesus and Trinity, and what's the differences, and how can we build this bridge? As I always said, how do we give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason of our hope?
Who would this be ideal to attend? Who should attend this lecture that's coming up on Thursday, March 27th?
I think everyone because right now we cannot deny the presence of Muslims in America. They are around 3 million Muslims, so all over the cities we are contacting. We are in a daily contact with our Muslims brothers and sisters, and so as a church living in the multi-ethnic and multicultural country, everyone who is interested or to see what's going on in the world, back in the Middle East and here in America, is interested, especially people who are doing multicultural and multi-ethnic ministry. This would be a great opportunity to learn what is the background, or when the Muslim comes and talk to you, what is the worldview, how he sees you as an associator, as an infidel, because you worship Christ and you worship the cross and you associate God with other gods. So how do we clear this misunderstanding?
So this would be certainly, as you said, this would be useful to anyone, perhaps pastors or those who are considering serving as missionaries, seminarians certainly. But I was thinking even perhaps high school students and college students, this might be a good opportunity for them to learn about and understand the differences between Islam and Christianity and how to talk with Muslim friends about Jesus, as you were talking about, how to give reason for that hope that we have. This would be, I think, a good opportunity for students who find themselves in campuses and in colleges and schools where they're interacting with people who are coming from a Muslim background.
Indeed, yeah. This is for high school students. It is very important because they interact with Muslim friends from all over the places also, and even with people who are not believers in Jesus Christ. It's a good opportunity to know what do we believe, what is the core of our faith, which is Jesus and the Holy Trinity. I always like to in most of my lecture, I like always to say, to read this quote from Kenneth Gregg. Kenneth Gregg is he died a few years ago, but he served over 50 years and he wrote too many books about Islam and Christianity. And after a long time of his studying Islam and Christianity, this is how he said. He is giving an appeal to all Christian church to study Islam. He said, if Christ is what Christ is, he must be uttered. If Islam is what Islam is, that must is irresistible. Wherever there is misconception, witness must be penetrate. Wherever there is the obscuring of the beauty of the cross, it must be unveiled. Wherever person have missed God in Christ, he must be brought to them again. And then he goes, in such a situation as Islam presents, the church has no option but to present Christ. And I think this is a good appeal to all Christians to attend this Christian, because we have no option but to present Christ. And Islam is missing God in Christ. He is missing the beauty of the cross. So how do we reach our Muslim brothers and sisters to them? The thing also I would like to clarify, because there is always this stereotype that all Muslims are terrorists, or we don't have any problem with Muslims as people. Muslims are people who Christ loved and died for them, as he died for me also.
Absolutely. Well, I want to point our listeners to find out more about that, the lecture that's coming up Thursday, March 27th, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. in Werner Auditorium at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. And so if they'd like more, they can go to the Concordia Seminary website. It's part of Concordia Seminary's Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology, which is a program offered by the seminary. It offers specialized distance programming, focusing on training and equipping pastors who lead immigrant-based LCMS churches. Well, Pastor, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for being our guest on His Time.
You are very welcome.
We look forward to the upcoming lecture here in St. Louis. Coming up in a little bit, we'll join together with Pastor Armstrong to study the daily lectionary right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.